So even, you know, starting the last couple of games and, you know, getting your team to this point, has it been a little strange to still be referred to as a backup in a lot of these interviews, knowing that you've accomplished so much and over the last month?
No, not really. You know, I was going into the season and everything, I was backup quarterback, and obviously I've started quite a few games the last month. So, but, you know, it doesn't really affect me, sort of in one ear, out the other. I know my position in the team, and I know what my job entitles, so that's all that matters.
Nick, down here. Doug said he felt like it was a little sloppy coming out of that half-hour, halftime simulation from yesterday, but he said it's a good teaching moment. What lessons can you guys take from that for the real game?
Yeah, I think just what we went through yesterday, which is practicing the length of halftime, is something that will really pay off. I mean, you always hear practice like you play. Well, that's similar to what we'll have to go through on game day just because of the different, you know, time allotments for everything. But then coming out in the second part of practice, it wasn't as clean as we wanted. We still got a lot of great work in, and in any moment there's a great teaching moment. So I think just addressing it early in the week before the game is huge. And the guys are aware of it. Coach does a great job of teaching in those moments. So I'm glad it happened now rather than in the game.
Hey, Nick, down here to your left. I know you guys are probably pretty excited to actually get to the practice field yesterday. How long was that wait? How long did it feel like until you actually got into the rhythm of this week?
Yeah, I mean, we were really excited to get back out there, get moving around. You know, the first couple of days here have been great. A lot of obligations, but we've enjoyed them. But just being back out there playing football, going through walkthroughs, you know, that's what it's about. So just getting the work in. It took a little bit, you know, getting warmed up, getting things flowing, but I felt like we got a lot of good work. You know, as Coach said, the second half of practice after the little halftime wasn't as clean as we wanted. But at the same time, I felt like watching practice, learning from it, there was a lot of, you know, improvements going into this game, so that's great.
Nick, the way Doug calls a game, can you take us in the huddle? What's it like for you from an emotional standpoint, mental standpoint, when he's calling a play and saying going for it on fourth down?
Yeah, I think just with Coach Peterson, I mean, he understands the game of football just as good as anyone I've ever been around. And he knows he's an aggressive coach, but he's also a smart coach. So he, you know, he wants to keep the defense off balance, and he does a good job of that. And, you know, every time a play comes in, I understand what he's looking for, why he's calling the play. And then when he goes for it on fourth down, it just shows the trust he has in us from an offensive perspective, an execution standpoint. And I think that's just something that fires up the team, knowing that we have a head coach that is an aggressive play caller. So everyone just plays that, you know, plays aggressive.
Nick, you know, over here. Hey, in getting back to accepting your role as a backup, how much did it help having Doug as a coach who kind of went through the same thing, you know, as a quarterback in his NFL career? Does it resonate more because it's coming from a guy who experienced what you're going through? And did you guys talk about that at all?
You know, we really didn't talk about it. I've been a starter in this league. I've started a lot of games. So just going into the game, I mean, being in the position I was in as a backup, that's a different role than a starter from a standpoint of, you know, the offense and just your prep. You're still doing a lot of prep. You're preparing like you're a starter, but it's different. So when you step into the starting role, you're really talking more about the scheme that you like, different plays you like. So that's really the big difference in just getting those reps, getting back in the huddle, repping those plays in practice, and then obviously playing in the game. So I really didn't have much time to just sit there and talk. It was more just jumping into it and let's go. So Doug's always been a great mentor to me since I was a rookie. So working with him makes everything a lot easier. And, you know, just having that relationship we've had for several years helps a lot in the situation that, you know, that happened.
Nick, Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports in the United Kingdom. When you consider the highs of 2013 and making the Pro Bowl and then the flip side of that with the Rams and where that put you in your career, how do you think you will feel on Super Bowl Sunday when you run out of the tunnel? Can you describe your feelings for us?
You know what? I don't know what the feelings will be like. I know at that moment it'll be, you know, it's Super Bowl. So I know the only time I'll feel it are in that moment. So I'm excited to just run out of the tunnel with my teammates Super Bowl Sunday and play that game. I have no idea what I'll feel. I know it'll be a lot of excitement, but I look forward to that moment.
Nick, how has your relationship with Frank Reich changed since becoming the starter? And did he pass any suggestions on to you on how to handle stepping in for Carson, much like he had to do when he stepped in for Jim Kelly?
Yeah, Coach Reich and I mean, we've had from the get-go when I came here, when I signed with the Eagles, we hit it off right off the bat. Just always had a strong relationship. When I was out for the preseason, there was, you know, constantly talking, just building that relationship through practice. You know, he had been in a similar role that I'm in. He also, I had talked a little bit the other day, you know, he had gone through seminary and became a pastor and pastored for several years, and that's something that I want to do eventually, not become a head pastor, but maybe like a high school pastor just to help in that way. That's been on my heart. So we were able to talk a lot about that because that's what he's done in his life. And then he came back and got into coaching. So from a relationship standpoint, you know, him and I become really close. And then when the time came for me to go in the game, when you have that trust, that relationship, everything's just a lot easier. So he's been a huge influence on me this year, and I'm grateful that he's one of my coaches.
Nick, asking some of your teammates to describe you, the word they used the most was chill. And if you are chill, how much has that served you in the biggest moments that you've played in, and how do you remain chill going into this, the biggest game of your life?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, I mean, I'm no different than anyone else. I mean, these games, I mean, your body feels different things. You're going to feel all these emotions, these butterflies. That doesn't change. I think the big thing is you try to just simplify what's going on in your mind and slow it all down. And that's just in anything you do. If you can slow everything down and just have simple thoughts and just see everything more clearly, you make better decisions, you play faster. And for me, I'm just a much better player in those situations. And, you know, the word that comes is chill, laid back. And that's just when I'm at ease and I'm just playing, I'm in the zone and everything's just moving, you know, in a way that I can see it all. So that's probably where they get it from.
Nick, you've played your fair share of night games, but this is still an unusual kickoff time. There's more in terms of pregame festivities and everything else. Have you figured out exactly how you're going to kind of pass the time, when you're going to be on the bus and all that stuff for Sunday, and kind of what's your schedule?
Yeah, I'm always on the first bus, so I'll get there early, get the body warm, do my normal routine there, and then I'm going to try to keep it as normal as possible. There'll be a little bit more time pregame and halftime and everything, but I'm sure I can find things to do to keep my body warm, looking over the game plan and whatnot to prepare for this game, best of my ability.
Justin Adams with Sports Spectrum. Going to the offseason, you were about to retire, and then you went and prayed. You got into your prayer closet, and then you came back, you signed with the Eagles, and now you are here. Can you talk about the importance of where God has led you from that point where you were praying to where you are right now and how you have grown in your faith?
Yeah, I think in that moment, a lot of people look at this moment and say, wow, like, aren't you super excited that you made that decision, you're in the Super Bowl? Like, what if you wouldn't have? Like, you know, but I look at it this way. It wasn't a matter of that. I'm grateful to be up here. I'm grateful to have this opportunity to, you know, speak, to play in this game. But at the same time, like, if I would have made the other decision, my life wouldn't have been a loss. Like, I would have gone and done something else and glorified God in that instance. So the reason I decided to come back is I love the game of football since I was a kid. I love playing sports. I've loved being a part of a team. And I knew as a person, the more growth I would have and the more opportunity to glorify God and trust in him was to go back and play football because of everything that I had encountered. So it took a lot more faith to go back and play than if it would have gone the other direction. But either way, it would have been fine. Like, I know I would have trusted in God. And I think that's where people get confused because everyone likes to see, you know, the Super Bowl and everything like that. No, like, you know, everyone's going to have to make decisions in their life that, you know, go one way or the other. And I'm just, you know, the growth that happened in my faith, just trusting in the Lord in that instance, because I didn't have the strength to do, you know, that. He gave me the strength to go through those moments through prayer, through studying the Word, through, you know, my relationship with my wife and family. I wouldn't be up here without them, without God in my life, because, quite frankly, I don't have the strength to do that. But they give me the strength. God gave me the strength and the ability to do so. So that's why, you know, every time I speak, every time I play the game, it's to glorify him.
Hi, Nick. Malcolm Jenkins told us last week that it's been his easiest year as a leader because there are so many leaders on this team. How unique has that been, and how valuable has that been this week with a group like this dealing with all the distractions you have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Malcolm, you know, he's one of the best leaders I've ever played with because it's so genuine. It's so much from the heart every time he speaks. is so impactful. The way he plays, the way he practices, the way he approaches every single day. But then there's also basically, you know, the entire team that they do things accordingly. They work hard. The little attention to detail, they take pride in their work, whether it's a blocking scheme, running a route, adjustments on the route. For me, fundamentals, the coaches. I mean, we have the best coaches in the world. I mean, they give us these game plans, and they detail everything up to where they put us in positions where we know if we execute, good things are going to happen. And that's something that's really special. So it takes an entire group, an entire just, you know, to create this atmosphere that we have. And it's really, you know, a lot of fun to go to work every day. And in turn, it creates a lot of leaders to where you just have groups of them, and everyone's doing the right thing, and, you know, it's pretty special.
Nick, can you talk about your desire to be a pastor, and at what point did you reach, did you come to that determination that you were called to do that?
I think that's just something that the last couple of years, just through going to speak at FCA events or Athletes in Action events and just being around kids, you know, it was just on my heart. And, you know, it was something where I took a, you know, leap of faith last year and, you know, signed up to take classes in seminary and do that in the off season, because the off season there's a lot of downtime. So I wanted to be productive. I wanted to continue to learn and challenge my faith. And it is really, it's a challenge, because, I mean, you're writing papers that, you know, you biblically correct, you want to impact people's hearts. But I don't know, it just, when I spoke to high schoolers, when I speak to middle schoolers, that's such a time of, you know, young men, young women's life, that there's a lot of things that are thrown at them. There's a lot of temptations in this world. There's so much going on with social media and internet that you want to talk to them and address it and share, like, quite frankly, just share all the weaknesses I've had and all my fallings, because I've fallen many, many times. And I think that when you share it with, you know, kids, young adults, it makes you human. And then they're like, well, you're a professional athlete and you struggle. And, you know, it's I don't have to, you know, hide because of my struggles. And then you get, you know, a dialogue going, and then everything comes out in the open. So in those occurrences, it just, in my heart, is something I want to do. And, you know, I can't play football forever. I've been blessed with an amazing platform, as of all the athletes here, all the coaches. And it's just a door that God's opened, and I'm, you know, grateful for it. But I still have a lot of school left and a lot of journey, so we'll see what doors he opens there.
Hey, Nick, I saw Carson tweeted out a picture of you guys as a quarterback group going out to the escape room last night. First, how did you guys do? And second, is there anything you've experienced that's unique about this quarterback room or this group of quarterbacks that maybe you haven't experienced anywhere else?
Yeah, that was actually a few days ago. It wasn't last night, I can guarantee you that. I was asleep. No, I think just the bonding. I've been fortunate to be a part of great quarterback rooms, and this is a great quarterback room. And it just makes your job a lot easier when, you know, you're in film early in the morning and you get along really well. You can talk about the game plan. You're trying to help each other out. A guy gets injured, another guy goes up, and, you know, for example, like Carson's helped me along. That's something that's really special. And those are life relationships, because, once again, you can't play this game forever. And it would be a shame to play this game for several years and come away with, you know, no strong relationships. So when you look back at the journey, and, for example, when we won the NFC Championship a week ago, you know, you have the trophy, you have the celebration, but for me and those guys, you look at all the faces of everyone you go to work with, and then, you know, there's long days, there's grueling hours, and, you know, you just enjoy it because you know the journey, you know the people you do it with, and, you know, we have a great quarterback room that we've had a lot of work, and I've enjoyed it tremendously throughout this entire year.
Nick, what do you think of the Gophers practice facility? Have you ran any Gophers, and do you have everything you need at that facility?
Yeah, I mean, the University of Minnesota facility has been amazing. They've been nothing but great. Just practicing in the new indoor facility, I mean, what a state-of-the-art facility. The locker room and everything about it is awesome. I haven't run into any Gopher players, but, you know, I can see that it'd be easy to recruit here with the facilities they have. You know, just all around it, I saw the basketball practice facility caught my attention, so I was tempted to go up there, but I'll wait a little bit for that. But, I mean, state-of-the-art facilities, and I'm glad that, you know, they're letting us use it for this, you know, Super Bowl.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Art.